All right, good morning again. As Trisha said, we are continuing our Serving Challenge series this morning, and today's topic is action, taking action in our serving. And as we start, I wanted us to see and witness and show some of our small groups in action serving in the community. So let's roll.
Shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking for. Shine, let it shine before all men. Let them see good works in men. Let them glorify the Lord.
You know, my wife Dale, she does a great job organizing, overseeing the small groups. And all the small groups, we ask them to find a ministry, find a way of serving the community. And that's just a snapshot of them doing it. But I wanted to have you hear more than just and see just more than a snapshot. I wanted to bring up some women that will share a testimony. And it's interesting because this is a ministry you might not think of as serving, and it didn't start out that way. It just started out as some women wanting to find a safe place to exercise and walk. So they started going to the mall just to get some exercise in, and it's turned into this beautiful, amazing ministry. And so I'm going to call up Marilyn Hatanaka and Kaz Namba. It's Marilyn and Kaz, come up here. And why don't you just share, Marilyn, maybe you could start just to share how this ministry, how this thing got started.
Well, it wasn't really, like you said, we were just walking because we needed exercise. And I think walking through the mall so many times, you know, like three times each day for 5 days out of the week, we get to see people all the time. Same people, you know, going the opposite direction and stuff. And so I felt compelled. And I think through the messages that you've given and others, take that risk and just step out and approach somebody, you know, instead of just waving, hi, how are you, and then leaving, or just keep going. But so it just, God just placed in my heart, okay, go over there and just say hi and introduce yourself and just find out a little bit more about the person. And so it just kind of developed, and more people I started approaching. And I don't know, then there was an opportunity for us to pray for someone, and I thought, oh, this is kind of, but you know, I just felt like it was natural. So I just said a simple prayer. I don't remember who it was, but so it just gave me the confidence again, you know, the Lord gave me to just continue doing that. And so, and then Kaz is such a prayer warrior. And, you know, if there's a need right then and there, she'll pray for them. So it's just been really neat to be able to see how God's been using. You know, we were just there not to minister or think that we're going to be doing anything special, but just get our walk in. But then God just, now it's, instead of walking as our goal, it's like, okay, who can we see and say hi to or bless or pray if God leads us to? So that's kind of, I'm not doing it anymore, but there's other opportunities, I think, where God's just leading me to do things that,
yeah.
It wasn't intentional, but it's just how God is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But thank you for, I think you were the one that said, take that risk. So that's what.
And you're very welcome, Marilyn. You're very welcome. Yeah. Kaz, why don't you share, how did you start walking there? And
I think I started probably in the summer because it was too hot. And I knew these guys were walking at the mall. So I thought, oh, you know, I'm just going to join them. And then at first it was kind of hard. I'm like, oh, 3 miles? But, and then, and Marilyn knew everybody there. I mean, the people at the jewelry store, Starbucks, and she would help Carlos, who was, you know, he had a scooter because he couldn't walk. And she would go get him coffee or whatever he needed. So I thought, oh, that's so cool. So we got to build relationships, and that's what it turned into. Like every time we'd see them, we'd find out a little bit more about each person. So it was kind of exciting. And then when we see somebody who's, you know, suffering emotionally or whatever, then, you know, we'd stop and pray for them, or physically we'd stop and pray for them. So it just became kind of more natural. At first I was thinking, well, I don't know any of these people, so it's easier to pray for them.
Kaz, can you share about one person in particular, highlighted of the many people there?
Well, can I share about the serving?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's been really helpful for me because I think that my attitude changed, and so I have more of a willing heart to just touch people out there and, you know, help them to be seen. And then the other thing was my availability. So, I kind of make more time to talk and instead of, like, you know, concentrating on walking. Well, my knee started failing me, so then I couldn't walk as much. So, but I guess I could share about one of the ladies, because we're kind of on this healing thing. But she was like an excruciating pain walking. She's there at the mall trying to walk. So I said, "Oh, can I pray for you?" And she goes, "Okay, yes." So I prayed for her. I got down and prayed, touched her knees, and then I was talking to other people, and she looked like she was kind of walking around testing her knee, and, like, you know, so I thought, oh, maybe she got healed. But I didn't know. We went on walking, and then when I checked with her the next day, she said, yeah, she was a lot better. So she had this big old smile, which I hadn't seen in a long time. So it was really worth it to, you know, to do that.
Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. And Marilyn, maybe you can share about one person that comes to your mind.
Gosh, there was a few people, I guess, that God placed in my mind. But there was one woman that we found out she had cancer, and so we got to pray for her for healing, and it ministered to her, I could tell, and we came more, I guess, closer to her, and we wanted to help her as much as we could. And Kaz and I would go visit her at the rehab. That was Pat. And I could just tell that the Lord was ministering to her. I don't know whether, she has since passed, but just being able to do that for her, just to give her some relief and just to know that there is a God out there that loves her and that that he's there for her.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, and, you know, it's really neat because Carolyn goes walking, Ron, and a few others. And So Carolyn and Kaz, they're both come regularly to our Wednesday night prayer, intercessory prayer. We just meet online. And I feel like I know their mall friends because they bring prayer requests. Oh, this person's hurting. This person's got this. This person's got this. Every week, there's like two, three, four people. And we've seen the Lord moving in their lives. So this, I love this ministry. It's birthed out of just the Lord moving on their heart. So thank you guys so much for representing the Lord, representing our church. Okay. So good.
We're not on Team Reach anymore, but if you guys ever want to come out to Los Cerritos Mall, I mean, Ron and Carolyn are regulars. I've been showing up a little late, but I try to go every day, you know, even just for 45 minutes to an hour. So you guys are welcome to come out.
Yeah.
Just give one of us a call.
Yeah. Or you could just email the church office. Office at CalisChristianCommunity.org, and we'll connect you with them if you want to just walk and see what the Lord does. So thanks. Let's give them a hand. Thanks, you guys. Thanks so much. I just love that. I love that, how it evolved and how they're impacting people just by walking in the mall. It's so good. Well, let me start the message, and I want to start the message with a few questions. So look at these questions here, okay? First, what is the most expensive gift you've ever received? Can't say Jesus. Can't say Jesus, right? But what's the most expensive gift you've ever received? And what is the most expensive gift you have ever given? Turn to your neighbor and share one of those two, okay? Think of something, share. If you're married, hopefully it's not a previous boyfriend or girlfriend. All right, okay, let's get together. A few more questions, okay? Really think about this one. This is key to the message. Would you ever spend your life savings on one gift for one person? Would you ever spend your life savings? And follow-up question to that, what would it take for you to do that? What would it take? What would you have to have experienced for you to get to the point where you would be willing, able, and wanting to do that? Okay? Well, I see people shaking their heads. No, I would never give up my life. You know, there was someone in the Bible that did that. Someone in the Bible actually did that. And it's found in Luke 7, 36 to 39. So let's look at that passage, Luke 7, 36 to 39. One of the Pharisees, that's religious leader, the Jewish religious leader, Pharisee, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to him, Jesus, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. This woman, this sinful woman, loved Jesus with all she had. She loved Jesus with all she had. Throughout this message today, I want you to keep the last question in mind, or this question in mind. What would you have had to experience to compel you to do for Jesus what she did. Okay? What would you have had to have experienced to get you to the point you've experienced something, you've tasted something, you've understood something, you know something? What would have had to have happened to you to move you to the point where you would have done for Jesus what this woman did for Jesus? So what did she do for Jesus? What did she do for Jesus? What does this woman do? Three things. First, she loved Jesus generously. In fact, lavishly. Some would even say wastefully, because she brought with her her most valuable, precious thing, an exquisite vial of very expensive perfume. The passage actually calls her an immoral woman. Some versions, Bible versions, simply call her a sinner. So she was known around her town, especially by the religious leaders and the devout followers of Judaism. She was known, oh, that's the sinner. That woman's a sinner. That was her label and her reputation. One possible perspective is that she was a prostitute. And some believe this could have actually been Mary Magdalene. If that were the case, this vial of expensive perfume could have been her life savings. That she, from all of her work as possibly a prostitute, all the money she had saved, she spent and saved it and spent and put it towards this perfume that would be her security, her security. And so when she broke that vial, there was no turning back. There was no, oops, I made a mistake. She couldn't undo what she had just done. It was her financial future. It was her material security. It was her 401k, her IRA, and she spent it all for this one moment on one person, Jesus. She was over the top generous towards him. Why? Why? Again, this question for her, what did she experience that would compel her to do this? Think about her. Think about yourself, and then think about her. What would she have had to experience in her life from Jesus that would compel her that to use, some would say to blow, some would say to waste her entire life savings in this one moment to love on Jesus? What would she have had to experience in and through and from Jesus? Whatever that was, she loved him generously with everything she had. Number two, she loved Jesus courageously. She loved him unashamedly. You know, I remember years ago, I officiated a wedding, and I was invited, of course, to the reception. And then my wife, Dale, couldn't make it. So I was there by myself. And I remember walking into the reception. It was a big wedding, the grand ballroom, walking in, finding my seat. Okay, I go to my table, and I sit down. And it's one of those big, round wedding tables. I sit down, and the table was round, and then where my seat was, I was facing a wall, right? It's a round table, and then there was a wall. Facing a wall, and I was all by myself. And then a few minutes later, this gal, I knew her, but this gal, She came and she sat down right next to me, and no one else came to our table. I was like, looking at the list, and no one else was able to make it to the wedding. So it was just me and her on this table by ourselves. Fortunately, there were some people we knew at the next table. They said, "You guys come over here." We go, "Are you sure? You come over here." I was like, "Okay." You know, we joined them. They made space for both of us. We sat there. And you know, that was weird. That was awkward. And I knew the other people. I knew the other people. Imagine her environment. She goes and she crashes this dinner party. And my guess is this religious leader, later they say his name is Simon, this religious leader Simon, my guess is he invited all his religious buddies to come to meet Jesus and to grill Jesus, question Jesus. But they were there to check Jesus. All these religious leaders gathered at this dinner. And this woman, the sinner, the one that everyone knew, that everyone stayed away, when the one that parents said, "Don't go by her, she's bad news." She goes. These men, these leaders, despised her. They judged her. They shunned and condemned her. And yet, amidst all these disapproving, condemning eyes, this suffocating shame, she walks in that room. She breaks into their dinner party. She walks up right behind Jesus. Why? You know why? She couldn't help herself. She couldn't help herself. She loved Jesus so much that she was willing to walk into this room of judgment and being hated and despised and all the shame and all the guilt. She felt compelled. "I have to do this for Jesus, my Lord." And she would not be denied. What did she experience through Jesus that would compel her to do this, walk courageously into this hostile den? She loved Jesus courageously. She dusted off, tore off that shame. She said, I'm gonna love on Jesus. Third, not only did she love Jesus generously, not only did she love Jesus courageously, she loved Jesus with all of her heart. It says she fell at his feet. She sobbed at his feet. She wiped his dirty feet with her hair. She kissed his feet. She poured her life savings on his feet. Talk about PDA, public display of affection. I know some of you are uncomfortable just holding your spouse's hand in public, let alone kissing your spouse in public. What was this? What was this?
but she couldn't help herself. She could not contain herself. She could not control herself. So she had to display her love for Jesus with all that she had, with her whole heart poured out to him. She didn't want to hold anything back. No, 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 no. He deserves everything, all my whole heart of love poured out on him. No matter how it looked or who was in the room. You know, yesterday, when I was working on this message, when I was typing this, I don't know how many times I just kept bursting into tears. I would just break down because I was writing, working on this. Why? Because I don't think I could have done that. To show my love for Jesus so publicly like that, so courageously, so unashamedly, with such uncontrolled abandon. I want to know. I want to know, what did she experience that would compel her to do this? What happened to her so she could do this? You know what happened to her? You know what happened to her so she can do this? Jesus happened to her. Jesus happened to her. She didn't just know about Jesus. She experienced Jesus. She experienced Jesus right here. She experienced Jesus right here. She experienced Jesus right here. She got to taste and experience the fullness of the love of Jesus, and she let that in. So it wasn't just here. Yeah, I know Jesus loves me. She was like, I know. Jesus loves me. And it so filled her up. She couldn't contain it. She could not contain her love. Jesus. Do you want that? I want that. I long for that. Look at what Paul prays for us. It's in Ephesians. But it's meant for every believer that has ever lived. Ephesians 3:17b through 19. This is Paul's prayer. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's Paul's prayer for us, because Paul knew that too. And Paul knows what God wants you to know and experience. Look at this. I made this quote. Jesus loved you so much and cleaned you up so well, perfectly, in fact. He made you holy, that Jesus was willing and able, because you are made holy in him. He was willing and able to be united with your spirit as one. Your spirit, that is resurrected life of Christ, and the spirit of Jesus have been joined as one. Right now. Right now. You are seated in Christ in the heavenly realm. Your spirit at the right hand of the Father. That's the truth. That's the reality right now. Jesus so wants us to know and experience his love and know and experience his indwelling presence so that we will love and serve others like him. So how much do you know? And I don't mean know here. It's the yada, right? Ginosko. It's know personally, know experientially, know intimately. How much do you know Jesus and his love? How much have you experienced Jesus and his love? Well, how much do you love Jesus? That's the barometer, really, of how much we have experienced his love. The barometer, if you want to know how much you know and experience Jesus' love, the barometer is how much do you love Jesus? That tells the barometer. That tells us how much we've received. So what does loving Jesus look like? Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly, I say to you, to the extent
that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them. You did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you? Then he will answer them, truly, I say to you, to the extent you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When we recognize and see Jesus in others and love them generously, courageously, and wholeheartedly, we will know how much we know and have experienced Jesus' love for us. This is a very sobering passage, but it's a truth we all need to hear. But while it is a call to serve others like we would serve Jesus, it is a call to do whatever it takes to know and experience Jesus' eternal love for you. That's the first call, to do whatever it takes to go from knowing Jesus loves me to knowing Jesus. Here are five questions, applications you can ask yourself. Number one, who is the Lord asking me to serve? Who is the Lord asking me to serve? Number two, can I see Jesus in that person? Do I recognize that in serving this person, I'm really serving Jesus? Number three, how much does Jesus love me? How much do I know Jesus loves me? Number four, then how much do I love Jesus? And then number five, what is one step God is asking me to take with this person? We are called to be and know an experience that we are the most blessed, the most loved, the most favored people in the whole world.
Jesus wants you to know that. Jesus wants you to experience that. So you will be filled up not only with his love, but recognize that his very spirit has already filled us. Embrace that so we could love the people around us. We could love the person in the street generously, courageously, and wholeheartedly the way that Jesus has loved us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, like Hebrews says, your word is a two-edged sword that cuts to the bone and marrow. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I rebuke and reject any false guilt. Because this is first and foremost a call, an invitation from you to pursue you, to hunger unabandonedly for your love. Not just to know your love intellectually, but to fully experience, to be rooted and grounded, to know the height, the breadth, the depth, the length of your love that surpasses human understanding and comprehension. Take down the walls of our human logic and reason and understanding and open up the floodgates so we can fully experience your infinite love for us. Stir your spirit within us so we could sense rising up within us that cry that says, Abba, Father. Our Father, our Daddy, our Papa. And draw us into close, intimate, loving union with you. The union you've already established, Lord, help us take away all the barriers, all the doubts, all the lies, so we could experience what's already true for us, that we are the apple of your eyes. We are the most loved people. We are your favorites, God, that you might release the floodgates of your love and presence, and we might love people around us as we would want to, and we desire to love you back. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we gather in worship before you, would you meet us face to face? Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.